49ers rookie minicamp is in the books. Let's close them up. On today's episode, we're going to review the rising stars and top performers of this year's 49ers rookie minicamp. Stick around right here on the Wayne Breezy Show. So bright that we shine.
Whiskey on the rocks and a 24 karat gold on a watch. My 7-1 Chevy be tipping nonstop, sounding like Trent Williams on the block. So you know we can't stop, we be banging through your speakers.
Wayne Breezy on the field or in the bleachers.
You can tune into my show and I'm a teacher. Wayne Breezy, the 4-9 preacher.
We so bright that we shine.
What's going on, 49er faithful? What's good, everybody? Happy Monday. The Wayne Breezy Show is here in full effect. It's good to be back. It's good to be here. Happy belated Mother's Day. I hope everybody had a great Mother's Day weekend out there for those that celebrated Mother's Day in your own way. I hope you enjoyed your day. Mine was good. Got to see my grandmother, got to see my mom. Both look well, both look like they're doing well. And it was just cool to kind of like just sit and talk and or sit and listen, really kind of like sit and listen. I kind of just sat back and listened to them as we celebrated them on their day. So that was a great time. Shout out to everybody out there. Thank y'all so much for tuning into the Wayne Breezy Show. I'm excited because we're going to just kind of like talk about some of the rookies and what we kind of saw. Watch a couple of video clips from some of the media brass out there. They put out a bunch of clips. Thank you, guys. We appreciate you. We salute you. The David Lombardis, the Matt Barrows, and all those guys out there, 95.7 The Game. Appreciate everybody that put out great content. Sterling, I saw you put out great content as well. Everybody that put out great content, I salute you. Round of applause to you guys out there. Listen, if you're new to the stream, you already know you got to click that subscribe button. But don't forget to click the like button. Hit that thumbs up. You already know what the likes do to the algorithm. Don't forget to hashtag the BB as well in the show, in the comment section, the live comment section. If you're watching on the repass, you didn't get a chance to watch it live, feel free to leave a comment. And don't forget, I will make sure I reply to the comment or whatever. You have questions or anything like that, make sure you leave a comment. All right. Don't forget to subscribe as well. On Apple Podcasts, for those that are listening to us in their trucks, in their vehicles, in their cars, in their mopeds, motorcycles, dirt bikes, scooters, whatever you got, a radio, whatever, go ahead and subscribe on Apple Podcasts as well as Spotify Podcasts. And make sure you guys rate and comment. And don't forget to leave the rating. That's most important, right? Leave a nice little rating over there as well. We can follow and subscribe on X at the Wayne Breezy, as well as on Instagram, TikTok, Threads, Facebook, all those cool things. Shout out to the communities on Facebook. The Facebook is at 5.1K, and the Instagram is at 19K right now. Round of applause to everybody that supports the Instagram, the other social media platforms. I truly appreciate it. I'm trying to get my Twitter to grow. For some reason, it doesn't want to grow anymore, but oh well. It's kind of like where I talk the most or respond the most on X. So if you're on X, get on there. Make sure you follow me. Okay, exclusive content, video breakdowns, things like that are live on the Patreon. You're going to get stuff weekly, all right? So you're going to get some stuff, something new to watch a week where it's more extensive type of breakdown. It's patreon.com/@TheWayneBreezy. And shout out to everybody. If you have Twitch still, go ahead and subscribe on Twitch as well. twitch.tv/@TheWayneBreezy. All right. Make sure you guys do that. If you guys want to shoot me an email, there's the email right there. TheWayneBreezy@gmail.com. If you missed the Mother's Day sale, that's still going on, right? Go to www.residency.com. Use the promo code SFBreezy. All right. You can save $5 on your purchase. Plus, there's like an extra 40% off on select hats they got going on the website. The Mother's Day sale is still popping. All right. Get your joints now. Father's Day sale should be up soon. It might be a Memorial Day sale. All right. So just take advantage of the sales so you can get the cool hats. I got some new joints I can't wait to bring out. I bought one of the white ones. Hold on. I got this joint, but I don't know if I'm ever gonna wear this, yo. But tell me this don't go with them J's. I think I got the J's, but I don't feel like going to get them. Let me take this out the bag. This junk is crispy. See, me, I like white because it's fresh and clean. But then as soon as I put it on, it's gonna get dirty. See that? Boom. It's blocking my light. Boom. So check that out, man. That's a residency cap right there. This might be one of the Brock Purdy joints. I don't know. I thought the black and gold joint that coach defensive coordinator Nick Sorensen had on was kind of fresh. It was vibing Saints, but I kind of like it. You know what I'm saying? So I might have to go ahead and cop that joint. You know what I'm saying? All right, so guys, we're going to talk about some stuff in the 49ers news. Again, thank you for watching. Shout out to the Breezy Bunch crew. I see some questions in there. I'll definitely try to star them, get to them toward the end of the show. Don't bother me. What's good, man? First in the building, man. Shout out to you, bro. I'm pushing, bro. Ooh, I hate the gym. I don't know if I hate the... I do hate the gym. I do. I hate being in there and around people. But then when I'm home, I'm not going to push myself hard enough to go, like, at home. So I have to go to the gym because it's holding me accountable. But I will keep pushing just because you told me to, right? And never ask me. Keep telling me to do it, right? Tell me to push. Don't ask me. Just... What you just said is perfect. Boats, what's going on, babies? Good to see you, man. Hi, everyone. Happy belated Mother's Day to all those Niner faithful mothers. You really are the future of the franchise. I need everybody out there to make more Niner babies so that the Niners franchise and the faithful will continue to grow. All right? You can make it right to this Faithful to the Bay song. You can play the Faithful to the Bay song. 49ers throwback. Thanks for tuning in, Faithful. Make sure y'all smash that like button. What's going on, bro? Jax Knox in the building. Hey, Wayne and Faithful, let's have a great show. Oh, what's going on, 49er Jeff? Yo, why we haven't done a show yet and you live literally up the street? Like, come on. When you're ready, hit me up. We'll do something for the upcoming season. I know it's a lot of stuff going on. Ben, you are a real one, G. He says, let's go, baby. I like that. Baby. That's kind of dope. How's it going, fam? I'm doing great, man. I'm doing great. Rob D for president. What's going on, baby? You're the president. You're the main one. Tanisha's in the building. Good morning, Wayne and chat. All right, we about to have a great show. Vince, what's good? I'm doing good, man. I appreciate you, Vince. Thanks for being here. I'm just making sure I didn't miss any of the crew because there's a bunch of you guys out here. Shout out to all the new people out there as well. Thank you for tuning in. JP Hellahard 2800, what's going on, bro? Hope all is going well with you and the family. You know what I'm saying? Leon, he says his birthday was yesterday. And my father-in-law got him. Yeah. I be sipping gold bar whiskey on the rocks. And my 24-karat gold Nano watch. My 7-1 Chevy be tipping nonstop. Sounding like Trent Williams on the block. Yo, congratulations. Happy birthday to you. I would take a shot of it, but I'm not drinking right now. I'm saving all my alcohol for football season, so I'm kind of on a drinking sabbatical. I'm going to call it a day. So this is going to stay in the bottle, but congratulations. I'm glad you were able to get one. Happy birthday to our brother Leon, baby. Let's go. Yo, my singing voice ain't back yet. I had a wedding this weekend. It went all out. But happy birthday to you, fam, and I hope you enjoyed your birthday. All right. Russell said that white lid going to get dirty when we... I'm probably not going to wear it. I don't even wear fresh. I don't know how people dress. Like my boy, right? So you guys know who Nick is, right? Nick is the freshest, one of the freshest 49er fans. And he'll wear J's. And I can't do it. I can't wear J's. First of all, they're most uncomfortable sneakers. Second of all, if somebody step on my shoes, man. I ain't even going to be able to focus on the game. Focus on people stepping on my shoes. So shout out to those that like to go to the games fresh. I like to go to the games comfortable, but matching. You know what I mean? I'm still going to be fresh, but I'm not. You're probably not going to see me in no J's unless I do got the cherry red 11s. But nah, the cherry red 11s too. That'd be kind of dope. Yeah, man, I'm not wearing that hat. Don't worry. It's going to stay in that plastic bag. I don't even know why they sent it to me. It's going to stay in the plastic bag. All right, guys. Let's start with some NFL news because the NFL is releasing some of the games prior to Wednesday. Wednesday is the release schedule for the NFL, but some of these primetime games are being leaked as of right now. There's going to be plenty of more that's going to get leaked. We got some rumors to get to when it comes to the 49ers. But here we go. The first game of the season. The first game of the season is going to be September 5th. That's a Thursday. So Thursday Night Football. And I believe it's on NBC. Thursday Night Football. Interesting. So this year the season's going to open up with a Thursday night game, which they always do. But it's the AFC Championship matchup. It's not the Super Bowl matchup. I don't know what happened. I didn't think that the Niners were going to play Week 1 against the Chiefs. I just didn't think that was going to happen anyway. But at the end of the day, we got Ravens versus Chiefs, September 5th, 8:20 p.m. on NBC. Now, here's the cool thing. I think, then Friday, you got Green Bay. Who's Green Bay playing that Friday? So you got a game on September 5th and September 6th before the season really kicks off that Sunday. So it's going to be fun, like fun. I can't wait till September hits, man. I got to make sure I'm not gigging on September 4th and 5th because football is going to be on. You know what I mean? But, yes, these are the official games that are going to kick off the season. All right? So Thursday night, Ravens, Chiefs, AFC Championship rematch is the first game of the season. It's going to kick it off. And then, like I said, the schedule releases this Wednesday, all right, for all the teams at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. This Wednesday, May 15th, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. So that's when all the schedules will be out. Now, I will be live on the Bleacher Report app. Now, you guys need to go and download the Bleacher Report app and then search for Wayne Breezy and boom, and make sure you follow me there. And then whenever I go live, you'll get the alert so you don't miss the extra 49er content that I be bringing. Now, I'm going to be going live at 8 p.m. on their app. All right, so make sure you check it out. And unfortunately, after that, I have to go finish watching the Celtics game because I believe that'll be game 5 for the Boston Celtics. So I just want to make sure everybody is familiar. This Wednesday, schedule release, 8 p.m. Do not miss it because that's when everything is going to pop off. Now, the rumor that is going around right now, and it may be true, but the schedule leak that we have for right now for the 49ers is that week 1, they're going to be at home playing the Bears at home week 1 playing the Bears. Now, the last time we played the Bears week 1, it was on the road. I was there. It was, what do we call that weather? It was a monsoon, I believe. That's what I was in. We were in a monsoon. If you were at that game, you were in a monsoon. It was terrible. And we lost that game. Trey Lance didn't have a good game. That's the game Elijah Mitchell got injured in and never really recovered. I don't know if y'all remember that, but that was that week 1. You know what I'm saying? I was week 1. He never really fully recovered from that injury. But no, not a monsoon at home. This would be at home. So I'm just saying the last time we play them, though, you know what I mean? I'll check my emails, Ben. Hold on. Now, Ben's got me multitasking. Okay, here we go. He says, Mexico trip, maybe 2 Thursday night football games. Turkey. Wait, what? Whoa, this would be dope. All right, so this is from SB Niners Nation. Could the 49ers, it's some more rumors. We'll talk about this, too. This is perfect. Could the 49ers get slapped with 2 Thursday night games again? Resetting the rule from last year that 49ers probably will get hit again with 2 Thursday night football. So the first one, I can't remember when the first Thursday night football game was, but I do remember playing on Thanksgiving. That was the Thursday night game. And then I remember having our regular Thursday night game. I can't remember what it was. Big Daddy Niners in the building! 7 whole months as a member of the Wayne Breezy channel. I appreciate you, bro. NY to the Bay, what's going on, Playboy? Yo, your text messages had me rolling this morning, bro. Yeah, you caught smack in the middle. You dig? All right, so let me just read this article to you guys real quick. He says the NFL schedule is to drop next week, blah, blah, blah. We know that. There are thoughts There are a few thoughts I may make before, but it's probably important to bring up the Thursday night football rules or how the NFL has basically did away with a lot of them. I never knew that there were rules for Thursday night football. So this is what this show is all about. Information, right? Before 2023, it was simple. No team could play on Thursday night football more than once. Okay, that's the rule. Cool. Cousin Snoop, what's going on? Keep in mind that that's the primetime game. There's always the Thanksgiving Day games, and that throws things out of whack, right? Because you get Dallas, you get the Lions, and then you get the Thanksgiving night game, right? Which is a primetime game. Typically, the NFL has been pretty good about this, giving teams like Dallas Cowboys two Thursday night games in a row, which comes with a full week of rest. Oh, I forgot about that. They need time to rest. They usually get 10 days off. Whatever. Anyway, we'll keep going. There were many obvious reasons for why teams did only one Thursday night appearance per season, most having to do with players stating how dangerous it is. Well, in 2023, those things didn't exist anymore. As the NFL gave some flexibility to Thursday night football, where some teams had to play it, but other teams didn't have to. The ones who didn't in 2023, the initial schedule had the Atlanta Falcons not playing in the game. Who did? Why, the San Francisco 49ers, of course. Other teams like the Kansas City Chiefs and the Philadelphia Eagles were in on the fun as well. It made sense for ratings and money. It didn't make sense for teams that had to play two Thursday night games in a season. Oh, did I not tell you that? By making that small adjustment, the NFL also gave Thursday night football the buy one, get one treatment. Now teams can play in two of these dangerous games and not just one, while other teams don't need to play in it at all. Despite how dangerous the short week is, I hope the competitive advantage this offers some teams isn't lost here. The NFL wound up not flexing a single game in 2023, which makes things all the more head-scratching. Why do the 49ers have to do this twice and other competitive teams don't have to do it? Well, maybe. Then again, I'm still asking about why the NFL had no initiative to fix the practice field in the lead up to the Super Bowl. So I probably think about this too much. So, great article. Who's this written by? Oh, no, there's plenty of more too. I'm just not going to. That's a lot. It's too. I'm not going to read all that. I don't even read that much. Good Lord. Anyway, basically, I didn't realize that some teams didn't even play on Thursday night. I didn't even peep that. I don't even think I paid that any attention. Show of hands that you even knew that teams didn't play on Thursday night. I totally missed that part. Miss Debbie, what's going on? Blessings, Wayne, and everyone in the chat. Hashtag BB. Hit that like button, y'all. Yeah, hit it again. If you already hit it again. Don't unhit it to where it unhits. Make sure you just hit the like button. I just realized they had a thumbs down button. Whoever created the thumbs down button should be fired. There's no need for it. But back to the show, I don't think I ever peeped that teams didn't have that. You Soul Certified said he knew that. I'm sure I knew the rule. No, I didn't know the rule. I just assume every team had an opportunity to play on Thursday night. I think that was the rule, what they wanted. But then you got the 49ers, who were a big money market. And that's what it comes down to. And I think Boat said that. He says because of popularity, the 49ers, you know, will get those two Thursday night games. They'll get an extra Thursday night game, excuse me. So some teams with the popularity may get the extra game. The issue is the players and their health. And that could be a disadvantage in the long run, right? Never thought about it till now. Ben, thank you for sharing that article with me. Never really thought about it until now, like about like the players and their health and them not wanting to play until because they need the proper time to heal and rest their bodies and things like that. Maybe the NFL will get better at scheduling and spacing the Thursday night games apart. I'm thinking that's what it would be. I'm hoping that's what it would be. But again, I don't know. You know what I'm saying? Jax just gifted a membership. To our cousin Snoop, Snoopy Cortez, welcome to the Breezy Bunch crew, man. I appreciate you, broski. I appreciate you too, Jax. Thank you so much for gifting the membership. And she gifted another membership to NY to the Bay. We got him coming in. Ching! appreciate you, Jax. You are on point. Ben says, it's a huge rant, but yeah, we did two Thursday games. I remember us doing two Thursday games. So we carried a lot. I just didn't realize it. I feel like when you're when you get so like endowed into the sport and the season kicks off, I'm not even thinking that they're playing two Thursday night games. I'm just like, yes, we got another primetime game. And so I'm not even thinking in the mindset of the players. Like, you know what I'm saying? That's kind of crazy. Like, I know they're probably pissed off that they're playing like in two Thursday night games, because the rules were supposed to be one Thursday night game. And then when you look at some other teams, they don't even get any Thursday night games. So I don't think it should be a popularity contest. Just make it even kill across the board, you know, just make it even kill across the board. Let these teams have an opportunity to play on prime time, which leads me to say that the Niners, you know, on Wednesday's show, we're going to try to guess, because we're going to have more leaks by then. We're going to see which rumors are true and whatnot. We're going to have some really good leaks by then. All right. So that's what we got for the schedules, man. Wednesday is the day it all goes down. We're going to drop a bomb on it. We did play the Giants on Thursday. That's what I thought. We played the Giants on a Thursday night last year, Soul Certified. And then I thought we played on Thanksgiving night, right? Am I wrong? Christmas was on a Monday. Christmas night was a Monday. So that's a Monday night game. So it's cool to play more than one Monday night game, but not more than one Thursday night game? I don't remember playing three Thursday night games last year. We might have. We may have. Let's research that. We'll get the research and then we'll come back and we'll correct ourselves. I remember the Giants game being the Thursday night game. I remember Thanksgiving being the Thursday night game. I thought Christmas was a Monday night game because it was on a Monday. So correct me. But then we play Seattle on a Thursday night? Or was that Thanksgiving? I don't know. I got to go look at the damn schedule. At this point, Mexico was two seasons ago. I remember that. Mexico was two seasons ago. So that, because I was in Mexico for that one. I don't know. Anyway, all right. That's what we got. All right, man. Just in case you guys are, you know, the 49ers have signed, hand applause, six of the 2024 draft class. So they signed six players. They signed Dominic Pooney, Renardo Green, Jacob Cowing, Isaac Arendo, Tatum Bethune, and they're waiting on to sign Ricky Pearsall and Jacob Cowing. Now, some interesting things, not Jacob Cowing, Ricky Pearsall and Jared Allen, I'm sorry. Some interesting things, the Ricky Pearsall one is probably going to take a little bit longer. I'm surprised the Jared Allen one is taking this long to sign. But Ricky Pearsall, the fifth-year option, that has to get worked in. So usually those first-round draft picks take a little longer to get done because of that extra year, whereas everybody else is getting a standard four-year contract. You know what I'm saying? And I wanted to break down some of the contracts, too, while we're here, so you guys can kind of see what they're getting paid. And this is per over the cap. All right, so per over the cap, Dominic Pooney, Pooney's contract is valued at approximately $5.7 million. This includes a signing bonus of around $966,000 and a 2024 salary cap hit of $1.4 million. All right, so his contract is valued at $5.7 million. That signing bonus is little under a million. All right, for Dominic Pooney. Malik Mustafa, his contract is about $4.7 million, and his signing bonus is about $739,000 with a salary cap hit of $980,000. All right, so if he, you know, if he doesn't happen to make the squad, whatever, it's going to cost Niners, you know, $980,000, and they'll lose a little bit of that money. So here's the cool thing. So every player, so Dominic Pooney was a third-round pick, Malik Mustafa, fourth round. So the higher up, the more money they get. You know, that's why you want to get drafted early. Tatum Bethune's contract is worth about $4.1 million. He's a seventh-round pick of the San Francisco 49ers. He has an $82,000 signing bonus and a salary cap hit of $815,000. All right. I wonder if that number is right. Interesting. Interesting. So these are some of these are the latest players that signed. You know, I'll get Renardo Green's numbers and all those. Shout out to 49ersWebZone.com as well for putting out the article. You know what I'm saying? It's gonna be crazy. Like, these rookies, they're not gonna really count. Like, I'm trying to figure out, like, we're always worried about the money to sign these rookies when we draft them. And it seems like the Niners always have the right amount of money to bring in and to will. And they still have some money to kind of like play around with. I don't know the exact number. I'll get that for a different show. But the Niners are like, they're doing just fine. And remember, they're going to get money back after June 1st. They're going to get money back after June 1st. So I know people are like, well, why isn't Brandon Ayuk signed yet? And this is that and the third. That's a work in progress. That's a work in progress. Okay. That's a work in progress. All right. So give that some time. They got to agree on something. But at the end of the day, the rookies are almost signed. Ricky Pearsall should probably be signed soon. Jared Allen will probably be signed next. That fifth-year option, I'm curious to see what that number is going to be. You know what I mean? Ty, what's going on, bro? He says Breezy rocking that red. Yeah, man. And I got on the Dwayne Breezy hoodie. It's hoodie season all year round for me. I don't care if it's summertime. It's still hoodie season. You know what I mean? So, guys, once you want your hoodies, you can go to TWBEN.com/shop. All right. If you want to cop one of the Wayne Breezy hoodies and support the brand, that'll be extra dope. There's a link right there. www.twben.com/shop. We got all kinds of cool stuff up there designed by my brother Ty right here, man. Support us, man. This is what we do. This is what we do. Appreciate it. All right. Get your fresh red and white hoodies. I think we got the red and gold ones up there too with the gold writing. If not, that'll be up there real shortly. We'll make sure we get that. We'll try to create a new design for every season. We'll try to come up with a different design, Ty. That'd be something cool. So make sure you check that out. And we're also working on the BAM merch as well. My man Ben says we need the BAM merch. So listen, don't worry. Ty will be working. I got you. Ty, when you get a second, do your thing, Playboy. Do your thing. Appreciate you, brother. Appreciate you. So look, let's go about this rookie minicamp because I think this might be one of the greatest rookie draft classes we've had in a long time. I really do. Now, I wasn't there, so I can't give you first on take on how many drops, how many catches, all that crap. Nah, I don't even care. I can't. But I did get a chance to assess and watch some of the stuff that was put out by some of the great content creators, by some of the great media. I truly appreciate them for those that can't be there. And I hope they don't mind me reiterating their stuff and giving them credit for putting it out. But I think that this draft class is going to be a draft class for the ages. And it's funny because when the Niners went to draft, I kept saying they got to nail this draft. And can I be the first one to apologize to the San Francisco 49ers? Listen, I had my heart set on Jazon Newton. I knew he was going to drop, and it's unfortunate, and this is unfortunate for him because he is scheduled to have surgery on his foot this year, and I'm not sure how much of the season he's going to miss, but I'm wondering if the San Francisco 49ers were pre-alarmed by the first foot injury because this is a different foot injury, right? This is on his other foot. I wonder if that's why the San Francisco 49ers stayed away from players. Notice what they did. They stayed away from players that didn't really play much last year. Think about it. Cooper DeJean didn't play much last year. Jazon Newton didn't play much last year. And those were two players high on a lot of people big boards, right? Especially all the experts. High. Why? Because their first 3 years, they were forces to be reckoned with, right? I'm wondering if the Niners chose to stay away from those type of players. They did draft Malik Mustafa, but he played last year. So, yeah, he was coming off the ACL injury, but he played last year, and he balled the freak out. And, like, this is exactly what I was getting to NY to the Bay. They learned from the Kinlaw situation. It was Kinlaw, we dealt with it. We had to deal with it for 4 years. We're not going to put ourselves in a situation like that again. I'm apologizing to my 49ers because when I'm man enough to say I was wrong. I mean, but I thought they would go with Jerzon Newton. But I guarantee you, I don't know this, but I could guarantee this is why they stayed away from those type of players, because Jerzon Newton wasn't the only one that was still available in round one when they drafted Ricky Pearsall. And this is not a shot at Ricky Pearsall. I just thought that the Niners were going to go best player available. Well, they did. They went with the best player that was healthy and that fits their system, and that was available, and that was Ricky Pearsall. So congratulations to John Lynch and the San Francisco 49ers team for getting Pearsall in here. Bro, look. I'm sitting here saying the Niners got them some straight up mother freaking dogs in this draft. And every round, starting round one. Shout out to Anthony for putting out this video for Ricky Pearsall too. Like, this is probably my favorite video of the week because I'm sitting here watching it and I'm saying to myself, yo, just look at how dangerous he runs. Right, and it reminds me of Deebo Samuel. I'm not saying he's Deebo Samuel. I said it reminds me. It's a big difference because Deebo ran hard. I remember Eric Crocker and I can't remember the other guy from the Soul Locked In podcast. I remember running one morning and I was listening to them while I was running, and I remember they were talking about, they had a special guest on, and they were talking about how hard Deebo runs, how hard he plants his feet into the ground, and that was probably why it was causing so many injuries, especially earlier in his career. And, you know, I don't think Deebo changed that shit up a bit. I think he needs to change up the whole makeup of his body, but I think that takes away from who Deebo is, being that bully. Deebo's aggressive. Peacock, Ryan Peacock, thank you. I'm sorry. My apologies. I just bad with names. And I remember them having that conversation, and they were saying that's probably one of the reasons why, because of the impact of the force of him planting the feet in the ground. I like Pearsall's feet though. Pause. Like I like they're choppy, right? But they're smooth at the same time. It's like his feet run, break down, chop, 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 and then the break is smooth, the cut is smooth. I think he's a problem. EMA Beats said they knew that Kinlaw had knee problems. That was a bad pick. Imagine who we could have benefited from having in the draft. I think they thought that Kinlaw's ceiling was really high, and I think that you're right. They didn't know he had knee problems, and this is why I think they stayed away from injured players entering this draft. They didn't know he had knee problems, but they were definitely believing that he was going to heal. His body was going to, and Kinlaw's body just kept finding a different way to break down. I don't know if you remember, because it wasn't just his knees. Like, he broke down a different way the next time and a different way the next time. So I think they just learned I don't think they want to experience with players that are dealing with injuries, but I appreciate that comment, bro. All right, here we go, man. I want to look at, just look at his feet. Like, and I'm gonna bring it back a couple of times. Let me remove this thing. And just watch how he breaks there. I guarantee that three-cone drill was probably tremendous. Now, apparently there are reports out there that are saying he didn't have the greatest rookie mini camp, had a couple of drops. There's another report out there that said, hey, man, the quarterbacks were trash. So at the end of the day, man, there's context with this stuff. I just want you to watch his feet. I can care less about the context. These are just drills. These are just practice drills. This is all they were able to do at rookie minicamp, all right? But I thought the wide receivers and the cornerbacks were going to get the best looks because they can play pretty much without their pads, right? They can play pretty much without their pads. You got a lot of people out there saying that they, you know, they ain't, you know, they didn't look good. Eric says, hey, Breezy, your feet aren't for everyone, but if that's your thing, cool. It's not. I just like the way he's able to break, get to his next cut, stop, get to his next cut, like the stop and go. You know what I'm saying? So if you got good feet, that stop and go is going to be pretty good. I think he struggles in press man coverage on film, but I don't know if that's going to be his issue in the NFL. Like I don't think it's going to be, because I think the way Kyle Shanahan is going to use him is going to be different. You know what I'm saying? It's going to be different. I think, in my opinion, when I look at Ricky Pearsall, and I say, well, damn, what does he do great? And what does he struggle with? He struggles against press man coverage, right? So if you line up or you try to jam up on the line of scrimmage, you got a bigger dude out there, he's going to struggle. Like, I guarantee you, he's not the strongest wide receiver to get open, but he finds ways to create separation. I don't think he has a problem with that once that route develops. I think he has a quick move, just like Brandon Ayuk. Like, they could put their feet in there and make you go backwards while they trail off and go the opposite way. That's what Ricky Pearsall could do. And so he has that of Brandon Ayuk, and then he has the dangerous run ability, yak ability, like Deebo Samuel. So you put Ayuk and you put Deebo together, you get this kid named Ricky Pearsall, right? And so I like that. Now the question is, for Kyle Shanahan, how are you going to utilize him? And I just feel like he can play all three wide receiver positions. I think, like, having a guy that can play the X, the Y, and the Z, versatility is why he was the draft pick. Because were there other receivers better than him? Yeah, for sure. Adonai Mitchell was still on the board. Well, nobody says Adonai Mitchell was a top five receiver in his draft. His top five receiver. Didn't care what anybody says. He was. He was still on the board. He didn't even get picked in the second round. William Roberts says Leggett was the next receiver to get if they didn't draft Pearsall. Leggett is a better, probably a better, what do you call it? Leggett's gonna win more 50-50 balls. But I don't know if Leggett runs better routes. And you got to remember, Leggett only played 1 year at wide receiver. Like, but that doesn't mean he's not going to be better. That doesn't mean he's going to be worse. It doesn't mean anything like that. These are all system fit people. You feel me? So when I look at Ricky Pearsall, I'm like, oh, he's going to the right system. So Kyle will probably get the best out of him and his system. Just put it like this. He's going to be the 49ers. You guys familiar with the Amon-Ra St. Brown? You guys familiar with him? He's the 49ers version of that. I'm not going to compare him and say he's that. But that's what I get. He'll be utilized in the slot. He'll be utilized outside. He'll be utilized in the backfield. Amon-Ra can be utilized just about anywhere too. Whereas Deebo can be utilized anywhere. Brandon Ayuk could be utilized. But there's strengths in which receiver position they play. Brandon Ayuk's the X. Deebo's the Z. End of discussion. I don't want to have any conversations about that. Now you can bring in a guy that's super versatile. Please. And now you got other options too, because I didn't even mention all the other receivers we got on the board. So Leggett was definitely a dope choice, would have been a dope choice, but I don't think they would have been able to utilize Leggett like they plan to utilize Ricky Pearsall. You get what I'm saying? I think Leggett would have given them big playability, especially downfield. I think they didn't want to go with a guy like Malachi Corley because they already got Deebo, and that's pretty much what he is. He's a playmaker. You get him the ball in space, he's going to be gone. I don't think the Niners have that. They're looking for a person that can resemble what they have but give him a little bit extra. That's what I'm getting from Pearsall. I think just from the reports that I read, I thought he had a pretty damn good, you know, camp. Everybody was there to see him. He returned punts. And he was receiving. But the guy that I feel like everybody was talking about was Jacob Cowing, and number 83. And I'm not mad at that. Like Jacob Cowing is probably going to be one of our favorite. And I said our because we're 49er fans. He's going to be one of our favorite receivers for years to come. He just has to really learn the playbook and be willing to block and crack this roster, because there's some dogs here. There's some dogs here. And, you know, he's going to have to figure out how to crack that daggone roster, because I just don't see him beating out Pearsall. But that doesn't mean he's not going to be a better wide receiver or a good wide receiver. He's going to be like the receivers that the 49ers drafted. And I knew they were going to go two receivers. But for God's sakes, he's wearing he's wearing number 83. I mean, Willie Snead wore 83, but that's another conversation. That's another conversation. So we're going to have a dope. This isn't over. This is going to be dope, because there was another wide receiver. I didn't get to see him run routes. That's not the videos they kind of like put out. So I'm curious to see. But it was a really cool picture of Kyle Wayne Pearsall and this kid, Tariq Owens, son of Terrell Owens. And this is just him running. He does, when you watch him run, he does look like his pops, right? Same lanky build. Like, he just looks just like his dad, right? I wouldn't be surprised. I know it's hard to crack this rock. I wish the 49ers didn't have great receivers. But number 84, Tariq Owens? Man. He has to find a way to make this roster, right? Right? Has to find a way, right? He's just, but when we talk about the depth at the wide receiver position, listen, I'm telling you right now, it's Ayuk, it's Debo, they're your one and twos. I think the third piece is the interchangeable piece. Now, how do they make this roster? I don't know. I don't even know if he'll make the practice squad, bro. Like, I think there's going to be teams. Let's just think about the teams his dad played for. This is the only thing I hate about this, right? You got the Buffalo Bills. You got the Philadelphia Eagles. The T.O. play for any other. And you got the Dallas Cowboys, right? Right. I feel like those are the teams that he played for. If the Niners cut him, because don't get it twisted. The Niners, if they love you, you will make this roster. Hint, our running back that we love so much, right? Jordan Mason. So if they love you, he not going anywhere, because the Niners know they'll lose him to one of those, probably one of those other teams. You know what I'm saying? And I don't think they're going to showcase him a lot. And that sucks, because you want to see him. Like, you want to see his ability and what he can do. But I feel like the Niners are going to find a way to nip that in the bud. I don't remember T.O. Did he play for Cincy? Did he play with Ocho? Did he play for Cincy? If he did, I'm just thinking of some of those teams that were probably T.O. probably be in the bags, like, yo, give my son a shot. You know what I'm saying? Blah, 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 blah. And remember, when they get released, you dig? When they get released, they free agents. So that doesn't mean he has to sign with the practice squad. I agree. That was real dope. So just a couple little video clips of what we saw them at practice, man. These kids were out here balling, man. And, you know, I just feel like the wide receiver position, when OTA start, that's, my eyes are locked on WR and D freaking Bs, particularly the CBs, the cornerbacks. I feel like wide receivers and cornerbacks are just going to be glued. I want to see what they do. I care less about anything else. Why? Because that's where all the competition is. I feel like there's no competition much. There's not competition at the quarterback. There's no competition at the running back. There's no competition really on the offensive line. I mean, the offensive line starters are probably remain starters, but if Dominic Pooney continues to show that he can dominate and learn and practice, speaking of Pooney, we got a little footage of him as well. You know, just, you know, doing a, you know, number 77 down there. You know what I mean? You know, a little 77. I wish he was going against, you know, defensive linemen, but, you know, Is that him and Drake Nugent going at it? But yeah, like Dominic Pooney, you know, the reports on him saying he looked lean and mean. Remember when we drafted him, I said we got mean? I'm telling you, man. I'm telling you. I'm not neglecting the O-line. No Nick Nice 21. That's not what I'm doing. I just talked about Dominic Pooney, our third round pick that the San Francisco 49ers traded up to get. I just feel like this pick got to be a horn. Not neglecting him, but there's not. I mean, like I said, these little drills, little bag drills. I want to see him go up against the defense, like I did at the Senior Bowl. I want to see him in some one on one action. I want to see him in 5-on-5s and I mean 7-on-7s and 11-on-11s. I want to see those. So I got love for the big fella. Look, I just talked about how I liked him. But I'm curious, because Dominic Pooney and Jarrett Kingston have an opportunity. But what I was trying to say is the competition really, I mean, to be an offensive lineman for the 49ers isn't easy. I mean, it's going to come down to injury and their desperation. I mean, go back to Spencer Burford. He started his rookie season because there was an injury to Brunskill, right? He was injured. He was unable to go at the beginning of the season, or Kyle probably would have went with what he had. So I'm not saying that there's not competition there. I just feel like that's set. That third wide receiving spot, no disrespect to Juwan Jennings, it just leaves it open because I think Kyle wants an interchangeable piece at his wide receiving corps. So if he comes out with three wide receiver sets or four wide receiver sets or even a five wide receiver set, he just has interchangeable pieces and, you know, pick your poison, basically is what he's saying. Like, you want to stop speed. Kyle can show up with a speed element, but have a different speed type of person on the field every single time. And then with the cornerbacks, you know, the competition I think is going to be legit. You got some young dogs, man. Like, I'm excited to see, to switch to the defensive side. I'm not going front. I'm excited to see Samuel Womack III, and I'm excited to see Darrell Luter Jr. I know we're excited to see the rookies, Renardo Green. I get it. Yeah, for sure. Definitely. Matter of fact, here's a little clip of him running as well, going through his drills, ball hawks the ball out the air. I mean, it's just to him anyway. He had to go up and get it. You know, a little, you know, it's not like he was covering anybody. But, you know, the drill is good. The drill is good. And he goes up at high points. The ball comes down with it in bounds. I mean, that's important. It's a good drill. I remember being at training camp and watching them go through these drills. And I'm like, yeah, man, they got to be on point. Because if they go out there and intercept the ball, they got to make sure that they get their feet, what? In bounds. Not 1 foot, but 2 feet. So that's the drill, right? You back pedal, turn your hips, get the lead, get the feet, get the catch, get the feet inbound. So just a little something to show you from my boy Renardo Green, who I think absolutely is going to be a dog as well. So when we start going through the depth chart and training camp kicks off in June, like, we're going to have some tough conversations. Do you understand? Because I really think that these young dogs, Samuel Womack III, Darrell Luter Jr., who dealt with injuries last season, Samuel Womack III dealt with injuries last season. Like, these guys are hungry. And for guys like Ambry Thomas, when you look at Ambry Thomas, like, he might be the odd man out. I don't know what Nick Sorensen is going to do with the DBs. I do know that Brandon Staley is going to focus on the nickelback portion of the secondary. So I'm curious to see how that's going to pan out, but Ambry might be the odd man looking out. I think you know, they talked about Renardo Green starting or getting reps as the nickelback. So that might be where he, you know, if he can excel there, we'll see what happens. I'm with you, Ty. Womack the third, Luter the second. That's my picks. I want to see what these dudes do on special teams, because I feel like if you can showcase what you could do as a DB, great. But if you could stand out on that special teams, excellent. Because now the Niners are willing to bring you up, save a roster spot for you, and God forbids, leave you as depth. Because if something happens, you have to go in and be ready to go. So I'm excited to see that. I do think there is a battle at the center spot with Drake Nugent there. I'm sorry, Will. I do think there's a battle, okay? That is where I think the battle is. No disrespect to Jake Brindle, but Nugent is an experienced center. I know he went undrafted. I understand that. But again, it comes down to, will he fit and work well in this system at practices? So we'll see what happens. We'll definitely see what happens. But I'm excited to see that as well. But the guy that I think the highlight of the rookies, you could say on offense or defensive side. We talked about Tariq Owens, the undrafted kid. I know a lot of people want to see what Cody Schrader is going to do, the undrafted kid. I think our eyes are on a lot of the undrafted players. I want to see Evan Anderson ball the freak out, right? Number 66. I think Malik Mustafa may just be the 49ers key to the future. I think they got a Fred Warner mentality type of player in Malik Mustafa. Does that make sense? I mean, he interviewed very well at the combine. That's when they fell in love with him. He tested well, and he had a pretty good Senior Bowl week. I mean, those things, and the interview. I mean, he went in the fourth round, but he was the 49ers' first fourth round selection too. And I believe if they felt, I just have this weird feeling, but if they felt there was a run on safeties, I think the 49ers would have jumped up to get him because this was their guy. I'll stand by my word and think that this is a John Lynch pick because they're the ones that talked. You heard him talk about him and John Lynch just having really cool conversation and being able to connect. They had like a different kind of like language, safety to safety kind of type of thing. But Malik Mustafa, I think, had a really good rookie mini camp. And I think Malik is going to be a pro. I'm not saying he's all pro, but that's the player that I think is going to walk into the rights because he's coming in to a great defensive-minded, led by Fred Warner. You got Nick Bosa. He's got some leaders on that defense just about on every level. And I think the key to Malik's game is his run defense, right? So, you know, when you think about where the Niners are going to get better, it's in tackling. And it's in the run defense. And even though they were ranked like the number three run defense, it was the weirdest number three run defense you've ever seen because they gave up a lot of explosive plays. That was the issue. Like, they could hold running backs to under 100 yards, but then it'd be that one game where a running back will rush for 90 yards on one play because of 17 missed tackles, and he don't miss tackles. So when I look at Malik Mustafa, I'm like, okay, they got somebody that can thumpity-thump-thump-thump you. They got a guy that's going to wrap and tackle. That's two things. And he's going to be there to stop the run. And we're not even talking about his versatility because this kid can play DB. He can play nickel. So he could play outside corner. He could play inside in the slot. Shoot. And if you want to go three safeties on the field at the same time, now we're talking about big nickel, baby. Now you could bring him in there. Oh, man. And oh, man. Like, we talked about this last year, and we never saw it. Like, I don't understand. I can't wait to see what Nick Sorensen has planned for the San Francisco 49ers defense. Make sure you guys tune into the BAM show too today at 4 p.m. Myself and Mike Andrews, we're going to be talking about the new identity of the 49ers defense. Is it the same? Will it be the same? Will it be different? We're going to talk about that today. So Mike and I will go back and forth. But, you know, Mark Espinosa says he's a younger version of Jimmy Ward. And so there are resemblances of Jimmy Ward, especially when it comes to versatility. I think that Malik is a stronger finisher and less of a ball hawk. If I had to pick the differences between the two, it would be that. I think Jimmy Ward, even though we didn't see it a lot in his NFL career because where they had to play him, they needed him to play nickel, they needed him to do this, they needed him to do that. I think it took away his ball hawking ability because he was just asked to do so many roles. The good thing about Malik Mustafa is he's used to doing all those roles. So I'm curious to see, like, I feel like the difference between the two is I think Ward had better ball skills than Malik Mustafa. But don't get it twisted. Malik Mustafa will intercept the ball. He had three interceptions. You know what I'm saying? So I just, to me, that's the difference. But as far as play recognition, as far as getting to the ball, as far as tackling, you know, people, Jimmy Ward was probably one of the best tacklers on the 49ers. That little body, that little guy, he would throw his body and just to make the tackle. Like, you want to talk about sacrifice? Like, I miss him. I miss his mentality. And I understand that the Niners needed to move on. He was getting older. He was under other tenure of the 49ers. I get it. They rocked out for as long as they could. He did what he could with here. Unfortunately, we were unable to win something with Jimmy Ward here. But they got stronger. I think they got a stronger version of Jimmy Ward. They got a stronger, younger, faster, more decisive, more just more neck to make sure that that ball carrier isn't going anywhere. Not giving up the yak. I love it. I love it. So Boat says, so Brown, Malik, or Huff and Malik for your two safeties in the Big Nick? Or just in your regular defense, my bad. I think you go with Brown and Huff if Huff is 100% like healthy. Yeah. Because I don't think that the Niners want to bring out and put out a rookie. You know what I'm saying? Just to start off the season. But if this kid keeps accelerating in camp and keeps trending up, like, he's the player that's trending. The players that I got trending upwards where their stock is rising, all right, I got, you know, on the offensive side, I think it's Tariq Owens, Jacob Cowing. I think their stocks are rising big time. I put an undrafted guy in there. I'm sorry. I think Tariq Owens is trying to do his due diligence. And you guys got to remember, he woed them at the scout day, the day that they came in. Like, he woed them near. Like, that's they signed him as an undrafted guy, but yeah. So Tariq Owens, Jacob Cowing, I think their stocks are rising. I don't think anybody's stock is dropping, but as far as them boosting themselves up, I think their rookie mini camps boosted them up a little bit. And on the defensive side, I think it's Renardo Green and Malik Mustafa. I think those are my stock risers right now when it comes to who I feel like will have a real good shot making that 53. real good shot at making the 53. E Harp says, who do I like the most as far as the rookies? Be more specific. As far as the draft picks, undrafted guys, like, be specific. I try to like leave them in different categories. But my favorite draft pick is Isaac Garendo, running back out of Louisville. So I like him the most. Not sure how well he did at the rookie mini camp. Not sure what he was asked to do, but no one's really talking about him. I thought he had one of the great press conferences. It was really good to hear from him. Very well spoken. And it's going to be tough. It's going to be tough for him to move up that depth chart when you have an undrafted guy like Jordan Mason, who ain't going nowhere. Like, he not. You got a guy that's undrafted, and Cody Schrader, who's looking to make the team. And just because you were drafted doesn't mean you're going to make it. And then you got Elijah Mitchell, who I think he replaces. I think he's the Elijah Mitchell comp on the team. And there's Christian McCaffrey. So, like, it's going to be really tough. So as far as the draft picks, my favorite draft pick is Isaac Garendo. So I'm hoping his stock will continue to rise, especially when they put the pads on and he got to pass protect and do all the things, the nuances that it takes to be a running back in the NFL. I think that's when you'll start to see or hear more flashes, as well as he's a home run guy too, right? So, you know, you ever had those, you know, watch baseball and you got power hitters and you throw them a fastball, that shit's going over the fence. You throw them a curveball, they're going to strike out. Like, they're just home run guys. I think that's what Garendo is, but he has the ability to catch out of the backfield, be versatile, play special teams. The versatility is crazy. So it's Garendo for me. Defense, I'm hoping to see more from Tatum Bethune. Like, I'm hoping to see more from Tatum Bethune. I know that the 49ers defensive coordinator Nick Sorensen is excited to see Jalen Graham and D. Winters bring to the table this year. Can they beat out guys like the DFFs and the guys that they re-signed to one-year deals? Like, is Devondre Campbell spot secure here? Because he's the veteran that should be stop filling that gap for Dre Greenlaw. I'm like, hell yeah, don't put no rookie out there. Put this guy out there. But I don't know. I don't think anybody's job is safe unless your name is Fred Warner, Nick Bosa, and Javon Hargrave on that defense, especially up front. And then in the secondary, obviously Mooney Ward, Diamandre Lenore, and then your two young safeties. I think their starting jobs are safe, but everybody else, I think, on that defense is up for grabs. And then on the offensive side, obviously, you know, your Debo, your Brandon Ayuk, your George Kittle, your Brock Purdy, you know, your Kyle Juszczyk when they have him in there with the two backs. Those jobs are safe. The offensive line is safe. You don't carry many of those. So it's going to be fun when we try to start breaking down this, this depth chart and really start having some fun with it. Ben says draft picks greater than defensive coordinator. You know, we got to give, this is the first time he's defense. This is the first time Nick Sorensen has done anything other than what his role was. So would it be a cool question to ask? And I'll ask it on X, but you guys get the preface and you can comment. We about to jump off here. How much grace does Nick Sorensen get? This being his first time, because it's going to be, I'm not saying it's going to be all peachy and creamy for him. He might have some bumbles and stumbles when it comes to adjusting and things like that. But I definitely think that he's going to come, you know, whatever the new whatever his new identity is, it's probably going to be really similar to what the identity has always been. I just think that they execute it more properly. That's what I think. I love Bethune. I think he's going to, I hope he makes this roster. And I just like him. He's a tone setter. And bet you by golly, wow, I love tone setters. They get a tackle for a loss. They get a sack. The whole defense changes, right? Like the whole energy, the mindset, everything changes. What's going on, Eddie G? Everything changes. So, you know, I'm cool. I just can't wait to, I'm looking forward to OTAs. But before that, schedule release this Wednesday night, 8 p.m. Don't forget to tune back in, right? 4 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, right here on the Wayne Breezy channel, the BAM show. Myself, Mike Andrews from Nothing But Niners. We're going to be breaking down Nick Sorensen and his new identity. All right. I love you guys. You guys are always dope, man. Remain faithful. Stay faithful. Always be faithful, y'all. You know, you know how we do, man. Stay up, man. Peace out.
I be sipping gold bar whiskey on the rocks, and a 24 karat gold on a watch. My 7-1 Chevy be tipping nonstop, sounding like Trent Williams on the block. So you know we can't stop, we be banging through your speakers. Wayne Breezy on the fitter in the bleachers. You can tune it to my show and I'm a teacher. Wayne Breezy, the phone.